This is Dial the Saint, introducing St. Anthony of Padua. Lisbon was an exciting city in 1195 because it and the new kingdom of Portugal had only recently been captured from the Moors. It could even be more exciting when you were Ferdinand Martini, the son of the governor of Lisbon. There were many things to do each day in the court. In fact, for Ferdinand, there seemed to be too many comforts and too many people ready to pamper and flatter him in order to obtain favors or privileges. His sense of right and wrong was based upon his love of Christ through Mary, his mother. Like all of us, he had daily temptations to be dealt with and overcome. His struggles were just as ours, and he was determined to defeat them. Surrounded by all available pleasures, he could say, O world, how burdensome thou art become to me. Thy power is but of a fragile reed. Thy riches are as a puff of smoke, and thy pleasures like a treacherous rock whereon virtue is shipwrecked. He entered the College of St. Vincent outside Lisbon, and then transferred nearby to study to be a priest. He studied hard and impressed his teachers and friends by his wisdom and good behavior. His monastery was visited daily by beggars who asked for food, alms, and clothing. One day in 1220, several skin-and-bone beggars appeared who lived according to the rule of a man named Francis of Assisi. Hearing of their plans to set out with a crusade to help convert the Holy Land, Ferdinand asked, Dearest brothers, I would like to wear the habit of your order if you would promise that as soon as I did, you would send me to the land of the Saracens to reap the same reward of your holy martyrs and gain a share in their victory. They gladly promised him his wish, because this new member was not only trained in scripture and science, but was not afraid to die as a martyr. Soon he put on their rough brown cloth habit and took the name of Anthony. Anthony left that same year for the Holy Land, but failed completely when he caught a fever and had to return home, realizing that he could not tell God what to do. From then on, he made no more plans for his life, leaving it all in God's hands. For this reason, he did not speak up at the next general chapter meeting of the order, and so found himself ignored and alone as it ended. He joined one of the last monks leaving as his traveling companion. One day, this monk asked Anthony to help him solve a problem. There was to be a special service attended by many high church officials, and no one was prepared to give the sermon. Anthony volunteered to help his friend. His sermon surprised everyone, and the superior discovered that he had found a new preacher. Immediately afterwards, he was granted the power to preach to the people. A short time later, Francis, who had founded the order, had need for a person to supervise the instruction of his monks, but he did not want education to be used to gain power or higher church offices. Because of Anthony's pure, holy life, directed by prayer and the love of God, as well as his reputation as a preacher, Francis wrote a note saying, Anthony, my bishop, it pleases me that you should read sacred theology to the brothers, so long as, on account of their study, they do not extinguish the spirit of holy prayer as is found in our rule of life. Now, learning was to become a part of every member's life in the order, and missionary work could really begin among the people. There were many religious errors at the time. Many people thought that there were two gods. Some were paid by the emperor to fight against the pope. Others taught that marriage was evil and lust was better. And still others believed that man had no free choice and one's actions didn't matter. Once Anthony's listeners did not like what they were hearing, and everyone walked out of the church, leaving Anthony alone. Not discouraged, Anthony merely walked to a nearby river and finished his preaching to the fish, which came from far up and downstream to cock their heads above the water in devout attention. But Anthony was a true evangelical preacher to the people. He had a good voice, pleasant personality, quick memory, deep learning, and possessed the gifts of prophecy and miracles. He worked with the common people and dealt with their daily problems. He worked many miracles, of which 50 are recorded. One day a thunderstorm broke over his listeners, but everyone remained dry. Again, a mother came to him with the news that her baby died, but when she returned home, she found it alive and well. Even the people in Milan, who for many years remembered their great preacher bishop, St. Ambrose, had to admit that their own saint had been outpreached by Anthony. As time passed, the churches became too small to contain the more than 30,000 listeners, and his talks were moved to public squares as people closed their shops and came from miles around to hear him speak. God was pleased with Anthony's love of Christ and his mother. A witness described how, one day, he saw an extremely bright light coming from Anthony's room, and, looking in, saw Anthony holding the infant Jesus in his arms. In 1230, Anthony traveled to Padua in northern Italy to preach. Instead, he was asked to write down the results of his studies and experiences, which are called today Sermons on the Feast of the Saints. In 1231, Anthony died at the age of 37 and was buried in the town of Padua, which claims him as its patron. Anthony loved Christ and his mother, and in turn loved the people around him. Through his prayers, preaching, example, and miracles, he showed his love, concern, and readiness to help in the daily problems and troubles of the people then and today. Thank you for calling Dial a Saint. Recorded stories about Mary, the saints, and other literature is available, as well as free handouts to share with friends. To receive these, you may leave your name and address, but please spell difficult words. Or you may write to Dial a Saint, Post Office Box 228, Vienna, Virginia, 22183. A new saint will be introduced next Sunday. Thank you for calling, and please call again.